on my life.
Amen. Even the Apostle Peter, the Lord has risen, indeed appeared unto Simon. And shortly after, he's standing up on the day of Pentecost and gives the gospel, and 3,000 people are saved. So you don't have to take too long to get yourself right with God.
Now, they are two considered ways here, and just a thought. The first one, it says, consider thy ways. And it says, ye have sown, and you're not warm, and so forth. And I believe what comes to mind there is that they are reproved as to their behavior. God would have their conscience to be stirred up. Because I think in verses 2 to 4 is what the conscience is being brought to bear there, where God would reach their conscience. So he reproves them. But then in verse 7 it says, consider your ways. Not only does he reprove them, but also he encourages them now to go get the material and to begin to build again. So often we reprove, but we don't encourage. It's interesting in 1 Corinthians 11, where it speaks of the head covering and so forth. First, what we find is that the Apostle Paul says, I praise you in the directions that you took from me. But then he goes on to reprove them. And we get that same thought in the churches in Revelations 2 and 3. There is the encouragement and the reproving. Here we find that they're reproved because obviously the house has been laid waste. The principles that, and for us today, the principles that govern the house, we are so indifferent to it. That's how it's laid waste today, one way. We're very indifferent, and we speak to many brethren, become very indifferent and cold to the principles that govern the house, holiness. And Brother Joe mentioned 2 Timothy, holiness becomes your house. We're in our 1 Timothy, but we're in the 2 Timothy time. But the second one is, so we are indifferent to that, and so it's laid waste. We look around and we see how brethren are. And when I say brethren, we're not talking about us. We're talking believers, mm-hmm. how they are. Many believers are, they accept so, and they make all their decisions on the ungodly ways of the world. So the principles, we become indifferent to it. And so the word comes to Haggai, to the people, look, reprove, they're reproved. Look, your house is so and so, but look, you even make money and there's a hole, it just goes out. But then we find he gives the encouragement. Go up and build. And that's what we need also in these days. We need to encourage to keep on moving on for the Lord and to build up that which remains.
Notice what they were supposed to get. They're supposed to get wood. See, wood speaks of the humanity of Christ. So Christ is not only God, but he's a blessed man. And go to the mountain. He's in the glory. Now that Christ is risen, ascended, and glorified, he has a more excellent ministry. Functions in all these wonderful mediatorial offices now that he's risen and glorified. So bring wood, bring Christ into every detail, the humanity of Christ.
That's a good point, brother, you're bringing us to, because ultimately this temple is Christ, mm-hmm. and it represents him. And whatever part we have, Brother Bunny, in relationship to this, it's really what has to do with Christ. And he says in Philippians concerning Timothy, Paul writes and says, for all care for their own things, not the things of Jesus Christ. It's really all about him. Everything that God has is in the way of testimony in this world is all Christ. It's all about him. So if we're not taken up with his interests, his things, his person, his work, his gospel, we're not taken up with his things. And obviously the other things we could be taken up with is our own things, which is easy to get wrapped up. I think our day, this day in this culture, it's so easy to get wrapped up because we have so much. It's so easy to use the excuse that because I have so many things, it takes a long time to take care of all my things. Mm-hmm. So we have to be really careful. Do we need all those things? Do we really need as much things as we have?
Perhaps a couple of verses in relation to verse 6 and tying on to that point of whether we have enough or not. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. And perhaps in a spiritual sense, we have two great verses for this. One of them is Psalm 34, verse 8, the eating part, I think. Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. So we need to make sure we're eating the right spiritual food. And for drink, I think it's in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, the last part of verse 37. Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So here we have the eating and the drinking, and we know that we'll be satisfied. We'll be more than satisfied with that food and drink. So what the world has to offer, all this entertainment and pleasure, all these nice luxuries that we have, that's not going to satisfy us. But here we have two clear things that satisfy us.
John 6, the Lord Jesus says, Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Well, we're not cannibals, but we must appropriate and assimilate Christ into our lives, feeding upon him.
I just want to make a point on this, too. And it, you know, you can't get down on people for appreciating those things that God gives us in life, because he does give and blesses. He's a blessed God. But when those things take priority, then it's wrong. Then you have to consider their ways. And that's what the Lord is dealing with here. He's not saying they did bad or wrong. As a matter of fact, had they been doing right, what they sowed, they would have got a lot for it, and so on. But they were getting half of what the effort they put into. You see? And the Lord is a blesser. Had they had their priorities right and taken care of the Lord's things first, occupied with his interests, then the Lord would reciprocate. And it's so it is for us.
Amen. In the second verse 6, perhaps we need to connect that with 9 to 11. Verse 6 really shows us that God used a very common method to get their attention. In Genesis, there was a famine, and he spoke to Pharaoh through dreams, because a famine was coming. And a famine is something that hits a human being very, very early, very quickly. In David's time, he wanted to get their attention. There was a famine. So the Lord used something, and a downturn in the economy affects, especially us in the Western world, very quickly. But they did not connect it with God. So verses 9 through to 11, he explains why there was such difficulty in their lives. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Why? Because of mine house that is waste. And I'm not talking now about material prosperity, but prosperity in a spiritual sense is missing. We can only have numerical buildup after their spiritual buildup. You go through the act. You see, it's always first spiritual buildup and then numerical buildup. When God gets his portion, when God has his place in our lives, there's going to be buildup. But he challenges them. Says, look, that those poor crops that you've been having, no prosperity. Why? Because I was not getting my portion. My house is laid waste. And you run every man to his own house. So everybody was doing what was right in his own eyes. And here, pardon me. Go ahead. No, I just was saying, in our day, we have to ask ourselves if this is not similar or a replication of what is here.